Yo, this is P-Town's finest, representing the NEP,
D. Stoudemire,
and y'all know what we're talking about.
No one's ready to deal with us.
This is the hardcore place of stuff, yo.
This is Our Food Community. I might be Chief, but Casey Holdall and Joe Freeman are rulers of the Rip City Report.
Hello, boys and girls, and welcome to another edition of the Rip City Report. I'm Joe Freeman of the Oregonian. He's Casey Holdall of Trailblazers.com.
Greetings, Joe, and greetings, everybody out there in Portland. Nice week we're having here, outside of basketball, I suppose.
It's great.
But weather-wise, and having all these days off in between games,
it's weird.
So luxurious. Like,
yeah, it's weird.
I wake up in the morning, and it's like, oh, I don't have, I mean, I still have plenty of things to do, but it's not like the typical kind of crushing feeling I get when there's like a game
every
off,
other day
game day off flight road trip.
It's
so.
Our just rewards for being gone 9 days over Thanksgiving and then going right back out for another 9 or 10 days before Christmas, because we have to leave again on you're probably leaving Sunday. I think I'm leaving Monday.
Yeah, we're leaving Sunday, but then we get back and we get back and we go to LA real quick. But then we have whatever it is, like 4 or 5 days off, like
around Christmas,
yeah. Which is just,
that's nice.
I mean, the NBA schedule makers, you know, I have my complaints, but you know, when they do stuff like that, I gotta doff the cap to them, because that's a nice holiday treat to have some days off.
Nice kudos, and no game on Christmas,
which I know people like that, but man.
I feel like
it's making me sick just thinking about it.
I feel like maybe the first 6 years that we respectively covered the Blazers, they had a Christmas Day game. It was at least a
first five. In the Larry Miller presidential era, we had
it was every year.
They I don't know if they fought for them or if they were like. I think teams do get to pick like a couple events that they want to be a part of. So like, I know there are teams every year that request to play on Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
Has to be the Blazers, because you guys are at
almost
every year.
I don't know that we request that, but we are always the team that's on the road playing a team that I think requests that. So, you know, whatever that means. But long story short, the NBA does, I think, give every team like a few games where they're like, hey, we'll try to give you preferential treatment here. And the Blazers must have been asking for the Christmas Day game, because we got it every single year. And at home, too, I think. Which
1 year in Oakland.
1 year in Oakland. Yeah,
Greg Oden chipped his knee in that game.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I do remember that. So, well, yeah. Long story short, they're not playing there. And again, I don't mind one bit.
Not at all. So it's December 7th, by the way. It's Thursday, and we're coming at you with a podcast, as always, on this, as we do every week. Blazers are currently riding a 3-game losing streak. And all you guys are just filled with the sads. It's incredible how much sads everyone has right now. Last week, coming off a 4-1 trip, everybody feeling really good about things. Seemed like the team was building a little momentum. And then kaboom, kaboom, kaboom.
Yeah.
And here we are back to where we were. This up and down team is right now in the middle of a big down. We'll get into that and more. We've got some news and notes. We're going to play a little round of Walton or Odin. And as always, we will have all of your lovely, sometimes emo-filled questions at the end of the podcast. As always, we solicit questions on Twitter. You can follow Casey at Chold, at Chold, and you can follow me at Blazer Freeman. And please check out our stories and content and videos and from us and our colleagues and all that. You can check out Casey at blazers.com/forwardcenter. And you can follow me or check out me and my colleagues at OregonLive.com/blazers. And please give us all your 5-star reviews. We love them. We want them. We crave them on iTunes, podcasts, Apple Podcasts, whatever it's called now. As always, it's free to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
Free to listen. Yeah. It costs you nothing.
Yeah. It's in fact, all you do is benefit from it, because you get to listen to us.
I wouldn't go that far, but
no, it's true.
I mean, this podcast could detract from your life. That's possible.
I guess if it's like you get too much joy, like it's too much goodness.
I don't know. Like, it could go the other way too, I think.
I guess.
Mean, what if you're like a super fan and we come on the show and we're like, yeah, this team stinks.
You don't like what we have to say.
Well, and not even so much that. I'm just saying that, you know, you can consume things that end up having a negative impact on your life, Joe. I think social media is a really good representation of that.
True that.
I hope this podcast is not as detrimental as social media, But again, I have to at least leave the door open that it's a possibility, Joe.
Okay. Well, either way, download us on the old iTunes. Give us your 5-star reviews. You'll get even more love from us.
What's your rap name for what you listen to on iTunes, Joe? So like, if an ATM is a cabbage machine, what's an MP3 player? Is that like a
I don't know, a music
tune,
box,
tune funker?
I know, a sound buster.
I don't know if you had any hip slang for
I haven't really thought of that one through. I'll come up with something.
Yeah, give me something, Joe.
Yeah,
maybe by the next show.
Maybe. It wouldn't take long if I just thought about it, but it's really hard for me to think at this advanced age. Yeah.
Well, you know, go into Urban Dictionary and maybe find some options.
Or at least some inspiration.
Yeah, inspiration. There you go. That's a better way. You don't want to steal from someone else. You want to create your own.
Exactly.
Stupid, cool hip-hop slang.
So I ran into Casey at Fred Meyer yesterday.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah.
Off day, and Joe and I still seeing each other.
Yeah, Super. That's how we roll when we roll in Nepo or Nopo or wherever we were in that. I don't know. There's a boundary.
I know. The area we were in was at the Lombard Fred Meyer, which I was surprised to see Joe because Joe moved out of the neighborhood. He's too good for North Portland.
Here we go.
He lives in Northeast Portland now with Tawny Neighbor Dan and all the rest of the upper crusters, but
I will not allow you to denigrate my neighbors.
He was I'm not denigrating them. I'm just saying they're great people, but they got the cash to back it up. But when you're hanging out in North Portland at the Lombard Fred Meyer with us Untouchables, Joe, it really shows a lot about your personality.
I'm a man of the people.
You're willing to shop with the unwashed masses such as ourselves.
I'm a man of the people.
Yeah,
I will say this. I shopped at that Fred Meyer for 10 years, maybe more. But before the change, after the change, there's been many remodels.
Yeah, and you left it behind once you made more money.
And,
yeah,
well, I just moved. But I don't miss it. I really don't miss it.
It's a show. Yeah.
It's a real special place. And the Fred Meyer that I upgraded to is phenomenal. It's got to be the best Fred Meyer in the city. It's a Hollywood Fred Meyer. Excellent cheese selection. I mean, cheese for days. You got a big wine selection. You got a growler bar. There's a growler bar there. I can go in and happy hour, lesser known, a lot of people don't know this, you can get your growler filled for $1 off during happy hour.
What's the caviar station like there, Joe?
Well, I haven't tended that because I'm allergic.
Do they have beluga or is it all depends on the day.
Depends on the day and the event.
Absolutely. See, I appreciate that you're making my point now by talking about all of the amenities that the much nicer Fred Meyer in your neighborhood has, Joe.
I don't know.
I don't know if Fred Meyer's a sponsor anymore, but if they are, shout out to Fred Meyer.
Fred Meyer's great.
I think they are a sponsor still.
Really? Fred Meyer's great.
I should know that.
I've lived in a lot of different places, it's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm saying too, their digital coupon program, it's legit, folks.
Oh yeah.
Hop on. Yeah. You get free stuff.
Well, what I do is I scan my rewards and then, you know, you can get the gas off and you build up credit. So like right now I've got like $15 that I can use towards free groceries. So you just,
it's a good rewards program.
Yeah. Sign up for your Fred Meyer rewards card. Okay.
We are going to be taking sponsorship soon here, by the way, at Fred Meyer. So if you like anything you're hearing right now.
That's true. And if you want to subscribe to the podcast, advertise on the podcast, tweet at us because we're going to be doing that soon, I think. Okay, let's get to news and notes. The Blazers lost 106-92 to the Washington Wizards on Tuesday night, their third loss in a row, which just happens to be their longest losing streak of the season. Yusuf Nurkic and Mo Harkless suffered separate injuries in the loss, and their status for Saturday's game is unknown. Yusuf Nurkic injured his right ankle, and Mo Harkless suffered a left quad contusion. Yusuf Nurkic x-rays after the game were negative, but he was kind of 50-50 on whether he would play, a little ambiguous. Mo Harkless didn't need any type of x-ray or whatever, and I think his more of just of how his quad feels. So maybe we'll find out more. We've got practice coming up in a couple hours that we're gonna attend, so it's possible that you'll know more before
it's possible
out.
But
you never know with this team
with injuries. Yeah, it's always they're a bit cagey.
All right, and Damian Lillard will host a roller skating party at Oaks Park tonight. Again, Thursday from 6 to 10 p.m. It's the first type of event like this that he's held. He is kind of debuting a new special Adidas roller skate as part of the event. And I'm sure most of you diehard fans know by now that Damian Lillard, a huge roller skater.
Big roller skating guy.
Always been. sometimes after games, this was something I wanted to write about, but I don't know if I can now that he's got this event. But sometimes after games, he'll just roll to Oaks Park and skate. He'll call them up and they'll open it up for him. I thought that'd be kind of fun, like after a game, to go check him out skating.
Yeah, he did that with Tim Frazier a while ago. I wrote about that, actually.
Oh, you did?
Well, it wasn't much, but it was a it was a bullet point about him and Tim going skating. Yeah.
So anyway, that's kind of interesting. And if you're into roller skating or into Damian Lillard, there you go. Now's your chance. 6:10 in Oaks Park tonight. Wade Baldwin has been assigned to the Texas Legends of the G League. He had a thumb injury that had him sidelined. He had surgery, and so he's sort of making his Blazers debut soon. Just will be in the G League. He's, of course, one of their two-way players. And finally, the Blazers end a four-game homestand Saturday at 7 against the Houston Rockets. Rockets have the best record in the NBA. Casey pointed this out before we went on air. I guess you're saying this is on air. Before we started recording, this is the first time the Blazers will face one of the three best teams in the NBA, who are the Celtics, the Warriors, and the Rockets, and they are the last team in the NBA?
They are the only team that has not played either one of those three teams yet.
There you go.
For those who have pointed out Portland's strength of schedule being one of the easiest this year, that's kind of the major one. By the way, too, the Celtics actually have the best record in the NBA, Joe.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Oh.
22-4.
What's the Rockets?
Are 18-4.
Oh, I apologize.
Well, I mean, they both have four losses, and actually they're pretty close.
Yeah.
So
I should have said Western Conference, I guess, probably.
But actually, now that I think about it, no, I mean, they're 3% winning percentage points difference, so I shouldn't have even mentioned that, Joe.
I appreciate it.
You're pretty close.
Yeah. So, where should we start?
Yeah, I guess the last three games for the Portland Trail Blazers, your Portland Trail Blazers, people like to say.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, it's obviously a tough time for this team. Their offense is continuing to struggle. Now their defense is taking a little bit of a step back against some of these teams. I mean, they've lost in the last three games. They have trailed by at least 19 points in each game.
Yeah,
and you look at the teams. Look, a blowout loss or a lopsided loss to Milwaukee after a 5-game trip, I can excuse that. Milwaukee's a great team. Tough matchup for them.
Awful matchup for them.
Long and lean, athletic. You come back. It's the old cliche. It's really the last game of a long trip. The first home game after a long trip. So that's excusable. But getting blown out or losing badly to the Pelicans without Anthony Davis, and then the Wizards without John Wall, giving up 51 points to Bradley Beal, a new record for a visiting player in this city ever. Since 71, mm-hmm. 70, whatever the first year is. These are tough times. And Absolutely. It's only about to get tougher. The schedule is getting particularly brutal coming up.
Yeah, a couple things. This is the Blazers are reaching the end of their easy home schedule that we talked about a lot. And the need to get off to a quick start. And we've got all these home games against competition that is, you know, not top flight. We need to come out and get a bunch of these. They're about to the end of that run, and they have not. Basically, at best, they're going to end somewhere around 500. Potentially, they don't even get to 500 before they go out in this next trip. Like you said, Joe, things are going to get a lot tougher, and they're not playing particularly well right now, so you kind of put two and two together, and you probably don't have a ton of reason for optimism right now. And I think, you know, we've got some questions about kind of the reaction to this, the way they've played in this homestand. And I think, and to your point, Joe, it's like, yeah, you can lose some games at home here and there, and that's understandable. And, you know, you get caught on a night and you're going to lose. It's the mm-hmm. NBA. Any team can beat you. But the way that they're losing in these three games, I mean, like, they're not even close.
No.
I mean, and some of the game, I think the Milwaukee game, they ended up only losing by like 7 or 8. It wasn't that close. The Pelicans game wasn't close. The game versus the Wizards, you know, they get it down close, still end up losing. So and not even that close. I don't even think they got within single digits in the second half. So it's the way that they're losing as well. If they were losing by 1 or 2, okay.
No, fans weren't happy about that earlier.
No, they weren't. But I think in your heart of hearts, you can feel a little bit better about
sure.
it. The way they're playing right now, there's no upside to it. Like, it doesn't look like they're building towards something. It doesn't look like they're they're catching teams too that they should be able to beat. I mean, I think Jason Quick mentioned this the other day might have mentioned it this morning on Twitter. They played the Pelicans playing the second night of a back to back. They played the Wizards playing on the second night of a back to back. Neither one of those teams had their best player, and
the Wizards had lost by 47 to the Jazz
the night before to Jazz, which is a tough back to back too. I mean, like, Utah's at elevation. You gain an hour, I guess. So in that regard, it's not that bad. It's only like an hour.
Still, they're on East Coast time.
But still, exactly. East Coast time, start of a trip. That's and they came in and spanked Portland. I mean, like, they beat them. So those are all really concerning issues. And while this team hasn't played particularly well, or at least as well as they feel like they can play at all this season, they've taken it to a different level in these last three games.
Yeah, I kind of wrote about this the other day. You mentioned that it's concerning. The Blazers insist that they're not worried, and it's kind of a theme that they've had, and I appreciate their positivity, but I sort of wonder if you should be worried. This was a time when, as we mentioned, they have the second easiest schedule so far, at least through 23 games. They had the second easiest schedule. They had faced 13 home games, 8 games against teams with losing records. It was supposed to be a time that they sort of built up their resume and padded their record with wins. Instead, they're 7-7 at home.
Yeah.
7-7 at home. I mean, that's inexcusable. And obviously, their offense has just been stunningly bad. You look at where they're at right now, they're 22nd in the league in offensive rating. They rank last in the league in assists per game, in assist percentage per game, and in fast break points. And they're third to last in shooting and effective field goal percentage. It's crazy to think that a Blazers team is this bad on offense. And it's weird because it's the same group of players they had. Like, it doesn't make a lot of sense. I mean, obviously, they're missing a ton of shots. They're missing a ton of close shots. That continues to be an issue. And you know, Damian isn't shooting well from deep. CJ isn't shooting well at all over the last four games. I think he's shooting 20-something percent. I have the numbers in here somewhere, but
it's bad, whatever it is.
It's bad, yeah. And the biggest issue, though, beyond all that, is the team is so bipolar. They're so Jekyll and Hyde. They get you when they're 4-1 after a trip, and then you start to kind of believe, and then they drop three in a row in just discouraging, disheartening fashion. And it's like that's the tale of who they are. That's who they are right now, and that might just be who they are in general. Just inconsistent, unable to build momentum, unable to string a good stretch together. And, you know, at this point, it's you have to think that's who they are until they prove otherwise.
Yeah, I remember what this conversation and the way they've been playing lately and just the talk of inconsistent play, what it reminds me of is last year. It must have been before the Nurkic trade, but fairly late in the season, but before they acquired Nurkic. You know, Terry Stotts was asked, you know, why is this team so inconsistent? Is it because of something, or is it just the way they are? And, you know, Joe, you know Terry. He's usually pretty guarded about what he says. And I thought it was really interesting. At the time, he said, he was like, this just might be who we are. I mean, I at this point in the season, we keep playing this way. I don't know that I can say, no, we're not an inconsistent team. It's like all evidence is that we are an inconsistent team. And I think we've seen that carry over into this season. They just don't have that ability to take an effort from one night and apply it to the next. Like, it's like every game is its own little universe, and what happens in the universe prior to that or before that is completely, it doesn't matter. Like, it's inconsequential, and that's a problem.
Yeah, and so much is on Dame and CJ, and when they aren't you know, playing at their potential, then it's incumbent on someone else to fill the void. And right now, particularly, it's that next level player that is so inconsistent. And obviously, CJ's slumping, and Dame is producing good statistics, but he's not shooting well. And Yusuf Nurkic is supposed to be that guy that balances that out, and he just hasn't done that. And I mean, you look at that next level guy, Mo Harkless has been bad. Al-Farouq Aminu just came back, and, you know, he is what he is. Evan Turner has been terrible, just non-existent. Pat Connaughton has produced some, but then not other nights. You go on down the list, and it's like they're just not getting consistent production from those role players, I guess.
Yeah,
and I don't think Terry has changed his starting lineup a lot. He's changed his rotation a lot. Some of it is because of injuries, but some of it's ineffectiveness, and is trying to find the right lineups and trying to do something to stimulate some success. And I don't think any of it's helping.
No.
At this point,
it doesn't seem to be.
Yeah, and it's, we've talked about this a lot over the last 2-3 years. It's guys want to know their role. They want to know what their expectations are. They want to know when they're going to play, how much they're going to play. They kind of want to know night to night where they stand and what is expected of them. And right now, because of all the changes, they don't have that comfort. And I am starting to wonder if that's been a problem and if that is a problem.
Well, I think that I would disagree, it only because when they have had stasis, they haven't played well either. You know, when they go through period, it's not like, I mean, Terry is definitely juggling the starting lineup and the rotation way more than he has in the past, but it's not like every game there's a different starting lineup and there's a different rotation. I mean, it's been more, and again, I think it's more because Terry has been so regimented in the past, and now that he's changing it up a little bit, it's...
Seems like it.
I mean, and I don't disagree with your overall point that, yeah, the more things change, it can be difficult for players. But again, when you're searching for something, it's like just sticking with something that's not working.
True.
So everyone knows what their role is. Like that ain't no kind of way to function. And I thought you made a real good point there, Joe, about the role players and them not giving you something every single night. But what I take from that is like that's not what they're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like for me, it's like Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, Yusuf Nurkic, Alfred Kaminu, Evan Turner. A lesser extent, Ed Davis. But there's about 5 guys on this team where they need to bring generally the same effort and same production every single game. And then the other guys from night to night will come in and give you something, hopefully, that will help you win a game. You can't expect Pat Connaughton to come in and score 15 points every game. You can't expect Shabazz Napier to come in and go 5-of-5 from three and score 17 points every game. When you get those performances, that's fantastic, and those are the performances that you need to win. But those guys, again, it's not that it's not fair, but it's not feasible to expect that from those players. I mean, like they are the players that they are, and they have improved,
mm-hmm.
but you still need it from your core guys every single night, and they're not getting that.
Quick quiz. Blame the Blazers' fourth leading scorer.
I'm going to say it's Pat right now.
That's not correct.
Shabazz.
Nope.
Boy.
You want me to just tell you?
If it's Myers, it doesn't count.
It's not.
Okay. What is it? Go ahead. I mean, the only reason I say that, I mean, Myers has played well in very limited opportunities. Yeah.
It's Aminu.
Okay.
9.5 games. Now, who do you think's the fifth leading scorer?
Evan Turner.
That's correct. I was going to say that you hadn't named him, but that would have been too big of a hint. It just reinforces the point. There's no, you can't count on anyone in that role. Now, I think long term, Aminu coming back is going to be a huge benefit to the team.
And especially if he shoots as well as he did the other night.
Right. And, you know, it's we often joke about it, just about his shot.
Guys joke about it. I don't joke about it.
Okay, I and most other people.
The people on the second deck of press row. I sit on the first deck of press row and keep my mouth shut.
You know, I maintain from just a sheer entertainment value, Al-Farouq Aminu is hard to beat on this team. You never know what's going to happen when he touches the ball. You never know where the ball is going to go when he shoots it. It could hit the side of the backboard. It could be an air ball. It could swish. Anything is possible. That said, it goes in more than you think, and it's more consistent than you think. And so I think the threat of that has been something that this team has severely lacked in his absence. Mo Harkless can't even hit the side of the backboard right now, and he's not even trying to shoot. Like, he passes up open shots. Evan Turner obviously isn't providing that long range shot, and really right now isn't providing much of anything. So you need that guy that can help you out. Pat has kind of filled that void, but I don't know if he quite yet has the doesn't strike the fear in opponents and doesn't have that respect factor yet. He's still he does extend the defense, though. They do go out on him, but you need that guy out there in the corner who's going to hit that shot. And I think when they get that, that'll loosen things up a little bit for Dame and CJ. And you'd like to think that CJ isn't going to shoot. Okay, I've got it in my notes. I should just look it up.
Let's look it up, Joe.
He's 25 for 73 over the last 4 games. That's 34% from the field. 5 for 20 from deep. 20%.
That's
25%. Yeah.
I can do that math.
There you go. And, you know, he's pressing, and he's just taking some terrible. He's doing a lot of one-on-one, black hole, kind of. Makes up his mind before.
CJ's been dribbling too much this year, period. I want to go and look at some of those dribbling numbers because they do keep him. It's just... he's just not getting it through the flow. And his assists are way down. And he talked about, you know, guys have to hit shots for assists. And that's absolutely true. But it's also a function of just the way he's playing right now. And I really think they need him to be more of a facilitator than he's been so far. Since we're talking about kind of recency, I just wanted to get these out there just to highlight how bad Portland has been their last three games. In the last three games, they are 29th in offensive rating at 98.2 points per 100 percentage, only or 100 possessions. Only the Hornets have been worse. Defense just as bad, or not just as bad, but almost as bad. They are 24th in defense in the last three games, 111.5 points per 100 possessions they're giving up, and giving them a net rating of negative 13.3, which is the worst in the NBA in the last three games.
That's not good.
I mean, and again, like they are getting beaten bad.
Yeah.
Like, they are getting thumped right now.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I understand. It's funny, like, you get text messages from friends and neighbors, and you get just blasted on Twitter from disgruntled fans, and it reaches peak during games and after games. And again, as I told my neighbor, I don't know exactly what I texted him yesterday, but it's like, eventually what I got to was, this is just who they are.
Yeah.
They're inconsistent. They're going to be really good some games, really bad other games. And it's going to be little pockets of games. It's going to be a four-game stretch here and a four-game stretch there. Just when you start to count them out, they'll win three in a row. And I think that's just who they're going to be until they can become consistent. And look,
I think you could say that quarter to quarter at this point. Like, not even game to game.
Sure.
The Wizards game in D.C., I was halfway through the Blazers lost this game story when they ended up coming back. It's like, sometimes they'll start games great. They'll play defense and look like they're just like, they're locking down. And then boom. Next quarter, and the other team scores 15 straight points. And it's basically the end of the game. Like, it's not even just one game to the next. It's 1 minute to the next.
There's kind of, what do you think about the whole doubling? That's kind of become a thing.
Yeah, and
Terry
he doesn't like to do it.
He does. So. Yeah, he's anti-doubling. So I went to the Wizards locker room after the last game because I don't know what the hell I was going to get out of the Blazers locker room that I haven't gotten over the last.
I went
to Tim Frazier just hoping that he could give me something about, hey, what's it like over there when they're struggling? Why are they so resilient? Why are they able to come? What's the scene going to be like? And I wrote about it, and it wasn't very good, but it was something. But when I was over there, was part of the people who talked to Bradley Beal, and I decided to ask him if he was surprised that he wasn't double teamed. And I probably should have just looked up because I did end up tweeting it out. I'll read his quote verbatim here. Now, bear in mind, again, Terry has been asked a lot about when guys go off on him, did he think about doubling them? And he's very defensive about it. He kind of clamors up and goes into a lot of reasons of why. And anyway, I asked Beal if he was surprised that he wasn't double-teamed. Again, he scored 51 points, the most ever by a visitor in Portland. His reply was, a little bit. I was, because I've been facing it for the last 2 weeks. I was definitely a little surprised, but I took advantage of it. Now, bear in mind, he's been facing so many double teams because John Wall has been sidelined. So I feel like if you effectively and Stotts was talking about the three-point shooters they had and the other stuff going on, and he had a good point, but you got a guy who's crushing you, and he's taken 37 shots. Take him out of the game and see what happens. Try something different.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm not trying to question Terry's basketball acumen because it's
far superior than
he's
both of ours together.
He's forgotten more in the last 4 days about basketball than I've ever known. But just in general, it seems like when someone's having a game like that, you know, you maybe peel off from what you typically do because guys don't typically score 51 points in a game. You know, what's the drastic times call for drastic measures? And I don't think double teaming is necessarily a drastic measure. But again, like I understand the notion of like, that's not who we are. We have a system and we stick to it. But again, if a guy is scoring 51, and the other part too is I don't think the Wizards had anyone in double figures until outside of Beal until the fourth quarter. So again, it's not like anyone else is beating you at that point. And when Terry was asked that question, he brought up Markieff Morris getting, or Marcus Morris, whichever one they have, getting a wide open 3-point. And I actually remember that play that he was talking about, and he did. He got a wide open three. He missed it. But again, when you have a guy that's going off like that, I think sometimes you just give it a shot. And yeah, there have been, I won't say a lot, but definitely I can recall other instances of that happening and him getting asked about it. And I mean, I'll give Terry credit for that, is that he sticks to it. You know, like that's,
he believes
they've
what he
decided
believes.
That that's what they do and that's what they're going to do. It's kind of like fouling when you're up three. You know, it's like, I think there's schools of thought for both decisions. But at some point in time, you know, you pick which one you feel like works best and you stick with it. You know, it's like hitting on 16 when the dealer is showing a 10. You know, it doesn't feel right. And a lot of times it's not going to work out. But if you decided that's the best way to go, that's the way you play it. And they've decided they ain't doubling guys. And that's the way they're going to play it.
You brought up Morris shooting threes. Speaking of big guys and three-pointers, it's time for a Yusuf Nurkic bet update. You're Yusuf Nurkic? 24 games into the season?
Yeah.
0 for 5.
He hasn't attempted a three
in the last 10 games.
Yeah. See, if your ankle is swollen, Yusuf, and you know, you maybe can't rely on some of your
moves
in the post, just bring it outside. Which, by the way, I mean, like, and he's shooting, I believe, still fairly poorly from the paint. Yusuf, give the paint a rest for a minute, my guy, and step outside and maybe get up some three-pointers.
Could you imagine the fervor from Blazers fans if he stopped taking post moves and stepped outside the three-point range? Game,
but, I mean, what do you want to see? Yusuf shooting an open three-pointer or Yusuf doing one of those spin moves where he, like, throws up the ball with his back to the rim and tries to go high glass? I mean, like, you can't tell me that shot has a better chance of going in than Yusuf taking a open to minor contested three-point shot.
Well, I don't know what he's shooting in the paint, but it's better, whatever it is, than what he's shooting from deep, which is 0%. Oh, actually, wait. I do have what he's shooting in the paint. 47.8% in the restricted area, 40% in the paint that's not restricted, both of which are better than 0% in
yeah, but still, I think that, again, to break whatever issues he's having in the paint,
he needs to step back and mix it up.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, you want to talk about players, you know, needing to know kind of their, what, minutes they're going to get in familiarities. I think Yusuf needs to convince himself that the three-point shot is a feasible shot, and the only way he can do that is by taking more.
All right, well, speaking of Blazers big men, I think it's time for another round of Walton and Odin.
Yeah, let's do it.
What do you think? Cue the music. First up, we'll keep this tight this week. We'll only have a couple. C.J. McCollum will score 25 or more points Saturday against Houston. Walton or Odin? Again, ooh, mired in a four-game slump. 25 for 73, 34%. 5 for 20 from deep, 25%. He will finally break out of this slump and score 25 or more points. Walton or Odin?
Boy, that's a good one. They're going to have a lot of rest, so they should come in ready to play. And you would hope their legs would be live when they get out there. Going up against two of the best guards in Harden and Chris Paul, and heck, even Eric Gordon has been fantastic.
Harden not known for his defense, though.
But he's improved over the years. He's not a lockdown guy, but he's not matadoring out there either. I'm going to say he does score over 25 points, but I'm going to say it's on not a great percentage.
Okay. I'm also Waltoning that.
So I will Walton it, yes.
Yeah. I think he's due. I think it's time. Yeah. Eventually you break out of it. And it's a bit, I think with everything that's, this whole podcast can sum up everything that is everybody's feeling about the Blazers right now. That combined with such a quality opponent, going out on the road here, I think the Blazers are going to show up on Saturday, despite how bad they've played. I mean, assuming, I don't know if Nurkic and Mo are playing. I guess I should contain my praise.
I'd be surprised.
I'd
be surprised if both those guys didn't play.
Yeah. So anyway, in light of that, I think he's due, and I think he breaks out. So I think it's a Walton. Next up, the Blazers will win 3 of their next 6 games.
Ooh, 3 of 6.
Now, here's their next schedule. Now, this is, I picked 6 because They got one more home game against the Rockets Saturday, then a five-game East Coast trip, mostly East Coast trip. So here we go. You ready?
Yep.
Houston Rockets at home Saturday at the Warriors next up. Then at the Heat, then at the Magic, then at the Hornets. Then you end that five-game trip at Minneapolis. Houston, Warriors, Heat, Magic, Hornets, Timberwolves. 3-3. Walton or Odin? At least 3-3.
Odin. I mean, at this point, you can't pick them to win any of those games, really. I mean,
Magic, Heat.
Even the Magic are, the Blazers have a hell of a time beating the Magic at home. Yeah. And, I mean, they played well here. Was that game close?
Blazers beat them. I can't remember the score.
I don't think it wasn't. It definitely wasn't like a, I don't think it was a beatdown or anything. I'm on the page.
They won 99-94.
Yeah. So, no, I mean, I can't count that a win. I'm really interested in that Minnesota game, but again, I can't pick Portland to win it right now.
There.
Yeah, no, I. Boy,
I'm gonna Odin it for sure. I'm Odin.
Yeah, I mean that's a hard Odin, and I don't. Can you pick them to win more than one game on that trip right now? I can't.
I've got them beating the Magic, and then they'll beat someone you don't expect.
I'd pick them to beat Charlotte.
Yeah, that would be the other one. Although I think it is the second game of a back-to-back.
I would pick them to beat Charlotte. That would be the game I would pick if I was going to pick one. I'm not saying they're going to beat Charlotte.
Second game of a back-to-back, still pick it?
Yeah, because I don't think it's that big of a deal. Yeah. I mean, I do believe in it, but Orlando to Charlotte's pretty quick. Yeah. You're already on the road. No, I don't think fatigue is going to be an issue. I think playing well or not playing well is going to be an issue.
Okay, we agree on that. Next up, Walton or Odin. The Blazers are 7-7 at home this season, Casey. That's not good. Will they win 25 home games this season?
Ooh.
They have 27 games left. They would need to go 18-9 to get to 25.
Nine. Boy, that's a tough one. I mean, looking at what the Blazers have done this year versus home and road, obviously they're 500 at home this year. They're 600. Yeah, it's weird. We only call it 500 when it's the even one. No one ever says 600 for them having a 60% win percent or 60%.
I think you mark a team either they're a winner or a loser.
Right. No, I'm just saying that we don't ever use that parlance for anything other than
50%. Right.
That's all I'm saying.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and I mean, the numbers are fairly comparable on the road and at home. They're shooting 44% at home and basically a little bit worse, but 43.6% on the road. They're shooting 1.2 percentage points better from three at home than they're on the road, but they're scoring more than 4 points a game more on the road than they are at home right now. So to get to 30 or 25 wins, Terry Stotts said he had needed to win 30 games to be a 50 win team, to be a good team. And I don't think either one of us feel like they're probably going to win 30 games at home at this point, but 25. So you said 18-9 for the rest of the way.
Yeah, they're 7-7. They have 27 games left, so they need to get
played some of their easiest competition at home too. So I'm going to own that. I'm going to say they don't get there.
There's nothing right now that would lead me to Walton. This I don't know how I could justifiably beyond saying, oh, maybe they will. You know, blah, blah. I'm going to say Odin. I can't think of any reason or logic that would convince me that they're going to win 25 home games this year.
Boy, yeah, that's yeah. When they come off this trip 4-1 or the last trip 4-1, I maybe feel a little bit better about that, but. Yeah, at this point, again, after those three games and the fact they just haven't played that well to begin with, it's getting hard to view them in a positive light right now.
This round of Walton and Odlin makes me, I don't remember making a bet with neighbor Dan this year. We went back and forth for a while about a bet. Maybe we did and I just don't remember it. I need to check my
possible
text messages.
I bet Dan would remember if
he would remember. And I'll check my text. There's evidence in there somewhere. If not, now's the time, neighbor Dan.
You guys can bet over a bottle of Dom Perignon or some Swarovski Crystal or something like that, Joe.
All these generalizations and cliches that you're throwing at me, I will not be deterred by your.
I appreciate that you're taking up for your fellow upper crusters, Joe. It's important that someone look out for the upper middle class. No one's looking out for you guys anymore.
All I can do is laugh at your nonsense. But it's pretty funny, so I like it. All right, time for questions. As always, we solicit them on Twitter. You can follow Casey at Seahold. You can follow me at Blazer Freeman. First up, from Ricky Bella. With a record of 13-11, why do you think many fans have hit the panic button? Being two games above 500, fifth in the West, could be a lot worse. It could be a lot worse, Ricky. That's very true. I think the reason that Blazers fans are hitting the panic button, number one, they're very emo. They ride the highs and lows as much as any fan base that I know, or maybe it's just like any fan base and I'm just knee-deep in it. But also, as we've said a lot, the Blazers have played the second easiest schedule in the NBA.
Yeah.
This was a time that they were supposed to get fat with wins, take advantage of that schedule. I remember writing 2 months ago, heading into the season, about how they had stressed and were making a big deal about getting off to a fast start and how important it was because the schedule was so difficult late. And so I think for those reasons, combined with the fact that they just aren't playing well, I think that's why fans have hit the panic button.
Absolutely. And yeah, it's the way that they're losing right now. They're not losing close. They're getting blown out. They're going long stretches where they look completely inept. Guys are in and out of the starting lineup, in and out of the rotation. I think all of that kind of adds to that. And by the way, too, just looking at the schedule here, I mean, like, what was Portland's last, like, quote-unquote good win, you know? I mean, I think beating the Wizards on the road almost qualifies, but you had to come back from 17 points down. So I don't think you really consider that a good win. That's a bad loss for Washington. The Knicks, not really. Brooklyn, no. They got thumped by Philly, which that would have been a good win if they could have got that one, but it went the other way. At Memphis would have looked a lot better if they had not lost 10 straight. Then you have beating the Kings at home, eh. Beating the Magic at home, eh.
Here's what you're going to say against Denver.
Denver would be the last game I would say that that's a good win, and that was 3 weeks ago.
I'm going to say. I'm going to disagree just a touch on that. I'm going to say the Knicks, because they won by double digits. They won convincingly. They tried to fumble it away.
But they started
late.
Pissing it away at the end,
a little
too,
bit,
though.
Yeah, but still, to win at the end of a trip like that against a team that you're supposed to beat, and I don't even think the Knicks are that horrible.
They're not good.
They're not good. But it was the old taking care of business win in fairly impressive fashion. And the Knicks are 500. They're 12-12. Yeah, so I'm going to say that's their last good win.
I disagree. I would consider that. Yeah, you're right, Joe. It's a taking care of business win. It's not a good win for me.
Fair enough. Okay,
wins are all good. Let's just get the boilerplate out of the way you know.
No, I know what you're saying. A confidence inspiring. Yeah. I'm telling you, we came back from that trip, and I think Blazers fans were all jazzed that their team had just gone 4-1 on the 5-game trip. They had riding a season high 3-game winning streak. They were 5 games above 500. I think they were feeling pretty good then.
With good reason, too. Yeah. I mean, again, they weren't playing fantastic, but they're winning. Yeah. And I think anytime you get wins on the road, you feel good about it. But, man, they have not applied it.
Next up, from Belgian Blazer, give me an honest prediction. How long will it take the Blazers to snap this losing streak? I don't see how they could possibly beat the Rockets or Warriors right now. After that, they play at Miami, at Orlando, at Charlotte, at Minnesota, etc. This is the dilemma that we just faced.
Yeah, I think... I think maybe it was Mike Acker who pointed this out or made the comment on Twitter, and I thought it was apt that, you know, with the way this Blazer team has played this year, yeah, they come out and get just stomped by the Wizards, but they're such an inconsistent team that they could come out and beat the Rockets by 20 points, you know. Not but I wouldn't say that because they haven't beaten anyone by a lot of points this year.
Bold
but just
prediction.
I think
they're going to beat the Rockets.
Oh, Joe does. Okay.
There you go. I think they end the streak against the Rockets.
I'd feel a lot better about them ending the streak in their third game from now versus Miami if it wasn't in Miami.
They never win in Miami. Very rarely.
So, boy. I mean, I'm
just saying that
I think the Miami game is the first game I would feasibly pick them to win.
Yeah, you're not feeling that Orlando game. I think Orlando's pretty banged
up,
too.
Well, Miami's before Orlando.
Well, I know, but yeah. I'm going to go Rockets. It's just the type of game they'll win. This team, so Jekyll and Hyde, so unpredictable. Again, it's going to be incumbent upon the health of Mo and Nurkic, but I'm going to say that. What the heck?
By the way, Miami should not be hosting 7:30 games. 7 o'clock Miami.
Oh, is that a 7:30 tip?
It is.
Son of a biscuit. Okay, next up from the real Pete Normal. ET is shooting 19% on threes, but continues to shoot them. Should he? Would Stotts ever forbid him? I don't want him seeing. I don't want to see him shooting threes. But if he's open, he has to shoot him, and no, Stotts will never forbid him.
No, he will not forbid him. And he, you know, he really shouldn't. But I do want to see. When was what's Evan? How many? I mean, he's not looking for 3-pointers. I'll give you that. But I mean, he's taking like one or two a game. You know, you have to shoot him. I mean, yeah. If he was taking 3 3-pointers a game, I would say, yeah, you got to figure out something else to do about that. But at one or two, you just got to let it ride and hope that I mean, you know, Evan's not a good 3-point shooter to begin with, but he's not typically been this bad.
I don't think the issue with him is his 3-point shooting. I think it's his.
Well, he's shooting 37% from the field. That, to your point, that's the issue, Joe.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not making his bread and butter shots right now, and he's not an effective player right now. He's not a facilitator or a creator. I think the move with Shabazz to get more playing time has sort of handcuffed him a little because mm-hmm. he needs the ball in his hand. I think we've learned to succeed. So you've got him and CJ and Shabazz playing together, and that combination isn't working right now. So. Again, he's going to shoot him because if he's open, he's supposed to. And Stotts is not ever going to forbid him from shooting. It's not his style. So there's the answer to your question.
Real quick here. He's averaging 2.3 assists so far this year, which would be his lowest assist since his rookie season. He's averaging 7.7 attempts this year, which would be his lowest amount of attempts since the 13-14 season, where he played 27 games with the Pacers. Again, both him and Mo, too. Mo's attempts are way, way down. I don't know what's going on with those two guys. I feel like there's something's up. I don't know what it is, but it feels like there's something there right now.
Next up from Chris Takeda. If the NBA is trying to cut back on travel, why do we have to go to Oklahoma City, for example, twice? Why can't we play both games in Oklahoma City back-to-back and just fly there once in a season? You just can't play. You can't play. I mean, you can't go and play each team. That's just from a fan interest standpoint, from a sensical standpoint of everything but travel, from an entertainment value standpoint, from a quality of play standpoint, you just can't play every opponent twice in a row. It just doesn't make sense from all of those reasons.
Well, and even so, like playing the Wizards twice in a week and a half, you know, they didn't ever play against John Wall. So if you're a team that, and that's, you know, when it's from teams from different conferences, I don't think it's as big of a deal. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if you know, with the Thunder being in your division and your, not the divisions matter a whole lot, but in your conference, if you played them in a back to back and you were missing your best player in both those games, it's like you drop those games when it's not really reflective maybe of the team you were for the entire season. So, and I mean, that does happen from time to time. I mean, it happened this year with the Kings, even though it was home and away. And no one's trying to spend multiple days in Oklahoma City anyway. So
no, that's a good point.
That's a particularly poor example. But and you're right, Joe, it is hard to sell tickets. Even if you have like extended homestand, like it's difficult to sell tickets in that because it's, you know, people come to one game and they may want to go 2 or 3 weeks before going to a next game. So yeah, if you were having the same team playing twice in, you know, 1 week, you would have a hell of a time selling tickets for that.
Next up from Activate Biggie. Any confirmation on Caleb's status for Saturday? No.
No.
Look, I've written about this twice in two different notebooks. The Blazers, Stotts said he's going to fluctuate, quote-unquote fluctuate, his active roster and inactive roster between Caleb and Zach. Not game to game, but it will depend game to game based on matchups which one will play. Which one will dress. And neither of them are playing very much right now, so it doesn't really matter. Okay, next up from Jonathan Kroner. What determines a fast break point? Is it just shot clock, or does it have to be a live ball turnover or a missed basket by the opponent? If fouled on a fast break, do free throws count toward fast break points? The last point I can confirm that, yes, if you get fouled on a fast break and you make the free throws, that does count towards fast break points.
Go through those again, and I can
What determines a fast break point? Is it just a shot clock? Like, is it a certain amount of time that they have to score?
No.
Is it have to be off a live ball turnover or missed basket by the opponent?
I believe so.
I think from my standpoint, a fast break point is you know it when you see it from me when I see it.
Right. I mean, I think he's asking for the
Yeah, but I don't know the official like definition of a fast break point. And as a matter of fact, this has been a moderate bone of contention with Terry Stotts as we continue to grill him on how terrible the Blazers are at fast breaks. Is he says that their internal stats are different than the NBA stats and that they actually have more fast break points than they're credited with. I might counter that then, well, everybody else in the league probably has more according to your metrics, so it's still the same problem. But I don't know the exact reason or definition of what a fast break point is, so I can't answer your question with any authority beyond. I do know that free throws do count toward a fast break
point. And I think there is some kind of, because to the point there, if the team misses a shot and you get the long rebound and push the ball up the court and score when there's 18 seconds left on the shot clock, I think that's a fast break point. But if you were to do that and not score until there was 2 seconds left on the shot clock, then that wouldn't be a fast break point. So,
yeah, I don't
from
know.
My really quick Googling here, I found that they also have fast break points in handball.
No, how about that?
So there you go.
Next up from Jeff L. Sorry we couldn't answer your question, Jonathan.
Well, I think you kind of answered it. As far as the according to Hoyle one, I mean, I'm sure it's out there somewhere. And yeah, to your point, Joe, some teams tabulate it differently. What you know about Portland Trailblazers right now is that any way you slice fast break points, they are not getting them.
Correct. Next up from Jeff Ellsworth. Do you think you could beat anyone on the roster in a thumb war?
Probably not. I mean, the smaller guys.
I think I could take Shabazz.
But I
could at least compete.
Yeah, you could compete with Shabazz. But again, too, I think the idea that guys who use their hands, like, in a physical sense, even if they're about roughly our same size, probably have much stronger hands.
Yeah, and to be quite honest, Jeff, I can't even remember the last time I played Thumb War, so it's not like my skills are at my peak, you know, at peak junior high or whatever. So, yeah, I guess I'd have to say no. But I would like to think I could at least compete with a couple guys.
Well, what would be competing for you, I guess? So if you were going to do, you know, best of five on a thumb war, what's competing?
I don't know that I would win any of those, but I'm saying, like, I could at least duel them for a while.
Well,
hold my own for a while.
That you can move your thumb around is not competing.
Yeah,
for
sure
me,
it
like,
is.
Can, no,
it's hanging on.
That's
hanging
like saying
on.
That, like, if I'm getting out and dribbling alongside Damian Lillard, I'm competing with him in a game of one-on-one. No, I'm not. I'm doing the base function of the competition. You have to win at least one to say you're competing.
I think he'd beat me 3-1.
3-1. Okay.
Maybe I'd sneak in a second victory.
I mean, that wouldn't be best of five, but yes.
Oh, yeah.
Five, so, yeah, three. Yeah, you got the three. Yeah. No, okay. You just wouldn't have to. You're assuming that
my
it doesn't go to the five. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm saying no.
Next up from Rip City Revival, do either of you have a favorite Christmas or holiday movie? If so, what is it? I'm a big, I saw it in the theater when I was a kid. It's a family. My sisters and I love it. We watch it every Christmas, even though we're usually not together on Christmas. Big Christmas Vacation guy. National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. That would be right there. Die Hard, another one of my favorite Christmas movies.
Sort of.
Yeah. And, I mean, everybody likes Christmas Story, right? That's on 24 hours a day.
Yeah, it's not bad. I found that what my wife and I like to do, we like to watch Christmas episodes of our favorite sitcoms, particularly those that are streaming, because you can load them all up and watch them. So, yeah, it's a bummer that 30 Rock isn't on Netflix anymore, because the combination of The Office, 30 Rock, and
Friends.
Parks and Rec, you put all those three together, you play all of their Christmas episodes through. That's like 10 episodes.
Fun.
So,
yeah. No movie, though?
You know, we are always a family, and a lot of families do, is that go to movies on Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I don't have a whole lot of memories of like watching Christmas movies together. I guess if I was going to say what my favorite Christmas movie is, I don't know. I mean, A Christmas Story is fun. I don't love it or anything, but I'll watch it if it's on.
All right. Next up from Andrew Hartman. What do you guys do on your flights? Work, sleep, read, eat, movies, music, talk? What items are on your must-bring list for plane rides? I do pretty much all of those things, except I try not to talk. I work sometimes, I sleep sometimes, I read sometimes, I eat sometimes, I watch movies, I listen to music. Less these days do I listen to music, and I try not to talk to anybody at or near or around me. I got to have my headphones, got to have my laptop. I used to have my iPod before I left it on a plane and lost it forever.
Oh, that's a shame.
So, yeah, I don't know, books. I'll bring a book or a magazine. But I usually read, I've got the Pocket app on my phone, so I read a lot of stuff on Pocket.
I mostly work, particularly on flights, since the team leaves right after games, and particularly if they're shorter flights, I work for almost the majority of those flights. I work a lot on flights, period, particularly long flights, too. At least I try to work for at least half the time, and then the other half the time eat/watch movies or television shows. I don't sleep on planes anymore. I used to. For some reason, I've lost my ability to do that. I wish I could get it back. It would have been really helpful on that flight back from New York, which was like 6 hours long. I don't sit next to anyone, so we actually don't do a whole lot of talking on the plane. I mean, we do sometimes, particularly when we're getting on and off, but we kind of all keep to ourselves. I am thinking about trying to start some kind of podcast on the plane, actually, to supplement the Rip City Report. Yeah, maybe something with some of the broadcasters wherein we discuss
things,
basketball and travel and so on and so forth. I don't know. But for the most part, to answer your question, I work and watch TV.
Okay, next up from Logan Brandon, what got you guys into journalism?
I don't know that it got me into it, but I remember the first time that I like did any kind of quote unquote journalism was in, I guess it would have been the fifth grade. Yeah, I used to always get done with my work way before everybody else, so I would have time to do stuff and didn't have any friends, so I remember I started a newspaper in fifth grade, and I don't know necessarily why I did, but that was my first experience with it.
I remember writing stories for the Falcon Flash in junior high, and then when I was in high school, I was a sports editor at my high school paper, and was just always a big sports fan, and for whatever reason I like to write, and so those two things collided. And then when I got to college, joined the school paper at the University of Portland, and here we are.
Nice.
Yeah.
I don't know. Mr. Migliaretto was also big for me as well. He was my newspaper teacher in college.
Yeah.
Excuse me, not college, high school.
High school. So. Yeah, Mr. Chandler was that for me. Same thing. Okay, next up. A couple of off-the-wall questions about topics of the day. One from Stephen Reed. What are your thoughts on Willie Taggart to Florida State?
Ah, yes. We got both sides covered here.
And then next up from Ian Rump, favorite non-basketball team or fan base? Well, obviously Florida State football would be my favorite non-basketball team and fan base. I can answer that very easily. You would probably...
I would say the Ducks, yeah. Even though I more and more, I find myself paying less and less attention to all sports. But yes.
Thoughts on Taggart?
I wish he'd maybe done it a little bit more transparently. I think once it was obvious that the job was going to come up, and once he obviously knew he was going to take it, I wish he had been a little more forthright about that, particularly with the players. Media, you know, I don't think you should lie to people, but I get it from that perspective. Like, you got those kids, though, like, you're getting paid exorbitant amounts of money. They don't get paid anything. They're there basically in the hope that they can make the NFL or at least get education. You gotta treat the students better than that. That's my one opinion.
I think it's interesting to see the Ducks' reaction to all this, because everybody's just murdering him right now, and all of a sudden he's a terrible coach, and
I think he's a great recruiter. I was always lukewarm on his coaching.
That's what everybody seems to be saying now, although they didn't really say it when he was here.
I think myself and at least one other person that said that. One Colin Romer was...
Well, he's been saying that now, but I don't know.
No, he was saying that before, too.
Okay, well, that's good. But that's everybody now. They hate him because he's gone. Which is rightfully...
You're right, too. That's what it is.
And that happens. I mean, that's how I was with Jimbo when he left to begin with. And you guys should all blame Jimbo for this, first of all. But you want to see how to leave badly? Look at what Jimbo did to Florida State. He stopped recruiting 6 weeks ago. He stopped everything.
It's almost better to do that, though, because if you're still recruiting guys, and then as soon as you take the new job, you're like, oh, yeah, by the way, do you want to go to Florida State instead? That's Bush.
Well,
that's way worse than not recruiting.
You're recruiting a guy to the school, not to you.
Well, but how many of these guys who recruited to Oregon end up at Florida State now?
Well, I don't know. We'll see.
And
but I don't think any of the guys that are being recruited to Florida State are going to Texas A&M.
Well, if he stopped 6 weeks ago, then yes. But what I'm saying is the scenario you're laying out is actually the much better way to do it, to be respectful of your institution, than the way that Willie Taggart did it.
I disagree, but that's only one point of how he double middle fingered Florida State on the way. I could go on and list 18 different things that nobody cares about. But let's just say I watched Taggart's entire press conference yesterday, and he was utmost respect and apologetic to Ducks fans.
Yeah, it's easy
Jimbo,
enough to say that
on his
after
way
the fact.
Out the door, complained and denigrated Florida State. So trust me, it
all
can
I'm
be
saying
a lot
is
worse.
If you were going to leave the Oregonian for another newspaper, it would be better for you to, or actually better this way. If you were going to leave the Oregonian to work for the Portland Trailblazers, it would be better for you to stop writing about the Portland Trailblazers than it would be for you to continue writing about the Portland Trailblazers, knowing that you're going to be taking a job with them, and then have that cloud that coverage. And I feel like that's the way with Taggart. Like, if he's going to go recruit for University of Oregon, yeah, knowing already that he is going to take the Florida State job.
But he didn't know he was taking it.
He knew on Thursday he was going to take it.
He knew they were interested in him on Thursday.
Yeah.
You don't know you're doing anything until you sign a contract. If he was interested in interviewing them on Thursday. So he gets contacted on Thursday. What if he says, okay, I'm out, I'm done with you guys, and he comes out and says, I'm leaving for Florida State, and then it doesn't happen. The deal falls apart. Florida State chases someone else. They can't come to financial terms. Is he going to come back? Then he's your coach, and you say, oh, now you want us?
But that's putting it on yourself. That's your decision, though. Yeah, well, so for you. I got to take that out. Tough it for you if you decide to do that. Like, that's your decision, though. Like, you're not dragging other people along with you.
Okay, you're saying...
I really don't care all this much about it. I'm making it sound like I do.
Well, you're just arguing to argue. But
that's true. That's one of my things.
So you're saying if... This has gone on too long, too, because we've still got more questions to get to. But if you're saying that if someone comes to you, Casey Holdall, with a job offer tomorrow, you, Casey Holdall, when they extend that offer, are immediately going to go to the Trailblazers and say, all right, guys, I'm gone. I can't work for you guys anymore.
If they're a direct competitor for them and I'm going to be taking people that work for them with me, absolutely.
Wait, but you haven't, they've just extended an offer. You haven't said yes. You haven't thought about it.
Yes. Until that has played out, absolutely 100%, you need to step away. That is the moral thing to do. You're leaving these kids in the lurch anyways, which is already kind of lame. But again, that's the business. It happens. Like, that's the reality of the situation. You can conduct yourself properly. And he didn't here.
Well, if Ducks fans think he's such a bad coach, then they should be okay with
And that's
him
true,
being
too.
Gone.
Like, the idea that, like, oh, we liked him 5 days ago, now we don't. That's just dumb. And we're all sports fans are like that. And it's stupid. There's no
two
ways around.
Generally speaking, I don't know if there is a good way to handle a situation like this. And it's for the reasons that you're talking about. Because you're dealing with teenagers and college kids and kids whose families have entrusted you with taking care of them and being a pseudo parent while they're gone. I don't know if there is a right way to handle it.
And the last thing I'll say is to your point too, Joe. I mean, it's college athletics, which are as dirty and vile as athletics get. So the idea that, like, anyone is conducting themselves in a upstanding manner when you have kids who are not being paid, who are supposedly in school, who are turning their brains to mush, in theory, for zero compensation other than
free education,
than their education. I mean, who among us can get on a high horse, you know, like when we're all a part of that situation and that reality. So I mean, how can anyone get mad at anyone else, really? That's the bottom line, because it's in its nature an unfair system that we're all part of.
Yeah, I think I would have been less disappointed in Jimbo if he had left for like Alabama,
sure,
you know, like a better program,
sure.
But like Taggart left for what he says is his dream
school. And I mean, and he's from Florida State.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it makes perfect sense. I completely understand it. And I don't bear the slightest grudge for the guy. I just wish he'd maybe done a little bit.
Yeah. I do agree with you. He probably shouldn't have gone out recruiting.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah. And if he was going to do that, do it on your own dime, man. Don't take a U of O donor's plane out to go try to get guys for Florida State.
Like, those guys are going to fly commercial.
No kidding. And anyone's losing money on the situation, too. It's like, oh, man, I couldn't use my private jet. Ugh, what am I going to do? I have dinner with Joe Freeman tonight and his family at the fancy restaurants in Northeast Portland.
I do feel bad for Ducks fans, though, because you guys just got a coach. He wasn't even there a year, and you're trying to stabilize the program. You're going to lose recruits. It's not a fun situation.
Yeah, it's not. But again, too, it's like, these are kids who are not getting paid. Like, how much can we complain?
I wouldn't have complained about a free education when I was in college, though.
But I was thinking about that, and not that we should get too far into this, but like, so if you get a concussion in a game on Saturday, what do you do school-wise for that week?
Oh, good question.
Like, that's kind of my thing, too, is it's like the two activities are at odds with each other. Playing a sport that really has the potential to mess up your brain does not coincide with being in school, wherein you are, in theory, trying to gain knowledge through your intelligence.
All right, we'll return to Blazers basketball, yes, or whatever these last questions are.
I apologize to everyone who doesn't care about that last 10 minutes. I should probably put a disclaimer out and be like, hey,
no, it's okay. They know what the deal is. Next up, from Rise F, I'm from Australia. What is the best time during the season to visit Portland? It's got to be October, personally. I think you come for an early game in the season in October. Wait, games start late October. Well, late October.
Yeah, yeah. That's probably when you're going to get your best weather as well. I mean, there's always a chance that April is going to be nice, but it's probably going to be raining more than anything else.
That would have been my next one, what I would say, March or April in spring. I mean, spring's very, very wet, but it's pretty and there's lots of stuff
to
do.
And they have played some good basketball late in seasons over the past couple of years, so you might see a better basketball game than you'd seen if you had come for the last three games.
But you know what? You come late October, early November, you come check out a few Blazers games, then you drive south, you check out the Oregon Ducks or the Oregon State Beavers with both of their new coaches.
This gentleman from Australia could give two you-know-whats about college athletics, which is the way it's supposed to be, by the way.
Okay, next up from CJN. People can like whatever they like.
No, that's true, but I'm just saying it's...
CJ Anderson, who, by the way, CJ, you've thanks for listening. You've asked questions before, and as I mentioned before, you have the same name as the Broncos running back who I had on my fantasy football team, who has really, really disappointed me this season. So through no fault of your own, I do not like the CJ Anderson football player.
I cannot tell you how much fantasy football talk there has been from some of my illustrious
colleagues
at all of the places that cover Trailblazers basketball. It's been a real treat to hear about your guys' fantasy football teams this year.
Join the fight, Casey. Okay, CJ wants to know, traditional Christmas lights, icicle lights, or projectors? I say all three. I say you go full ham. There's no right or wrong answer here. Whatever you like. I've got some regular lights around the house, just some simple white lights, you know, kind of hanging from the porch and that kind of stuff, and some stuff in the windows. But I like all the lights. Everybody, you do you. If I had the time and the energy to hang icicle lights, I'd do that. I'd put up Christmas lights. I'd go full ham. But I don't have that kind of time.
Yeah, the only thing I don't like those inflatables. I think they just look
tacky.
Not even so much tacky. It's just like they just look like a lot more trouble than they're worth. And yeah, they're always like halvesy inflated or not inflated. But yeah, like the full, like people that do like the enormous, like big light things, I think that's great. I love seeing that stuff.
I will say that as someone with a 2-year-old, it is incredible to watch the sheer joy that she gets out of everything Christmas, just, you know, the whole spectacle, even though she doesn't understand it. But just driving around, we'll start calling out Christmas lights and said blow up things. That's what made me think of it is all that. She loves them, so the kids love them.
Awesome. So I wish more places did the, and granted retail is dying, but I wish more places did like what Macy's does in New York with their display
winter and scene and everything.
Exactly, like those they're like windows where they are phenomenal. Like there's a real art to it.
Okay, we have time for one more question or else we're going to miss practice. Next up from Amanda Judkins, who's the most likely current Blazer to have an NBA career outside after playing basketball?
After
love
playing
the podcast.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Amanda. Love you back.
So does broadcasting count as in the NBA, or is that like
I
a straight up?
I think we're going
up,
like coaching, scouting, front office,
okay,
trainer, that sort of a thing.
Let me look here.
I'm going to say I could see Myers Leonard doing like some coaching or something maybe.
In the NBA?
I don't
see
scouting.
That for Myers.
No?
No, that's not Myers. When Myers is done playing ball, he'll go and do something else.
Yeah, you might be right. That might have been a premature call. There's not a lot of guys on this team that. I always thought Wesley Matthews would be my first guy to be a coach. He was always my. I would say Pat because he just is an athletic, just like an addict. But, you know, who knows? Maybe he plays baseball 9 years from now and he becomes a baseball scout. You really don't know with him.
I think Ed would be a great assistant coach, but I don't think that would be
think
something
he's
he'd be all that interested in.
Shabazz, maybe?
I think Shabazz would be a...
I'm going to say Shabazz.
Yeah. Shabazz would be the second guy I would pick for sure.
But there's not a ton of guys that are...
And that's still a young team, too, so you
it's
don't...
hard to know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, you don't really develop kind of that sense about a guy until maybe a little bit later on in his career.
I mean, if you stretch to broadcasting, obviously CJ is going to do that.
Yeah, CJ will be doing something in sports after his playing days are over, 100%.
All right. Thanks, as always, for listening. I think we really are going to start exploring some advertising for the podcast, so if you really are interested in that, tweet at us, at Seahold or at Blazer Freeman.
Very reasonable prices.
Yeah. Depends on how much we like you. As always, thanks for listening. If you subscribe on iTunes or any other Stitcher or anywhere else, give us a review. Give us all your 5-star reviews. We really do appreciate that. And we appreciate you listening as always. We'll talk to you again next week. Take care.
This is Bill Shonley. Thank you for joining Casey Hodall and Joe Freeman on the Rip City Report podcast. What the heck is a podcast? Take us. No kidding, it's the Blazers and we're blasting the Lakers. Force the tempo, 50-point lead by halftime. Watch Rasheed Wallace keep smashing the baseline. Go left, go right, 360 degrees. Here comes the paint, Kobe. Flipping and he's popping a three. Try and catch him coming down the court. Bonzi Wells, what a handle. It's amazing what he do for the sport. Damon Stoudemire saves the day, a.k.a. Mighty Mouse. Gonna show all of you scrubs how to play. What a show. Why the Lakers even want it with us, you know. No one's ready to deal with us.